Good morning again. It's still a good morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your beautiful presence here. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before your throne, seeking grace and seeking help. We can come boldly before your throne and sing praises to you. To you that alone deserves it. To you that alone is worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And to think that you would look upon us, that you love us. Lord, I just pray that you open heaven for us this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you touch the hearts of your people, that you would plant your word firmly in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I still have a little bit of that, little bit of a cough left from what I had a few weeks ago. But that's okay. How's everybody doing? Awesome. Encouraged. God does that. Our opening scripture this morning is Luke 17, 26 through 30, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. Things are getting interesting, aren't they? Interesting times. But the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. He has plans. You know why he has plans? Because he has everything under control. And I'm certainly glad it's not under my control anymore. That never worked. Oh well. Psalm 2, 1 through 5. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Heathen are unbelievers. We have those today, don't we? They hate God. They don't believe in him, but they hate him. Have you noticed that? That's the way the world thinks. Thumbing their nose at a God they don't believe in. In his face. The little book of Jude only has one chapter. Verses 14 and 15. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Ungodly. God's repeating himself a whole lot of times in there, isn't he? You know, as time goes by, we have a tendency to get complacent, to get settled in what we're doing in this world. But also, when people are left to their own devices, when they're left alone without God, they stray, don't they? Second Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Luke 17:26-30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Are we there yet? I don't know how we could possibly get any closer than we are right now, but I was thinking that back 20, 30 years ago. We're there. How could it possibly get any worse? How can people get any worse? How can this world get any worse? As it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. Life as usual, right? Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination or every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This man was evil. That's pretty bad. But it says more than that. It says man's heart was evil. Actually, it says the thoughts of man's heart was evil. The imagination or the intents, some translations say, of the thoughts of the heart was evil. Couldn't get any worse than that, could it? Actually, it does. It says every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Every word that's added just makes it that much worse. It compounds it. Now, it couldn't possibly get any worse than that. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Continually. That's the way it was back then. God sent the rain, destroyed the world, saved 8 people. I heard someone say once that in Chinese language, the written language, that it's pictorial, as a lot of languages are. And the picture of salvation is 8 people in a boat. I don't know if that's true or not. Is that what? 8 people in a boat. See, the worldwide flood was worldwide. And just what every culture has stories about it, legends about it. It was very real. Of course, we know that because the Bible says it. Genesis 6, still, verses 11 through 12. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. The the earth was corrupt. All of creation. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, all of creation groans and travails, waiting. Waiting for things to be made right. Every rock, every animal, every tree, everything is waiting. As it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded houses. They builded just business as usual. In the seventh verse of the book of Jude, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Similarities between the two, isn't there? God sent judgment. But there is also a witness from God's people. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And Lot is referred to as a just man, a righteous man. You know, reading his story, you know, you wonder about that maybe. But yet, he was also a preacher of righteousness. He didn't like what he saw. It says in Peter that it vexed his soul, seeing how they lived. There's differences between the two. In one, 8 were saved. The other, only four were saved. And it rained both times. One time it rained water. The next time it rained fire and brimstone. God's judgment gets progressively worse until he gets our attention. Just ask Jonah. Some of us are kind of thick-headed, and God's got to knock us around a little bit. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What's going on in our world? That's what's going on in our world, isn't it? Calling evil good and calling good evil. I don't know what the count is now. Last I heard, it was about 60 million babies had been aborted. 63 million? There's a lot of countries that don't have that many people in it. Selling baby parts. Big business. I heard a story about at a library, a drag queen telling stories, having story times for children. How many genders are there? The Bible says two. But the world now, the number just keeps going up. Corruption in government. Of course, we don't have it here in this country, do we? Yeah, our elections are honest. Students are forced to apologize for being white or being Christian. Is God going to reach a point when he says, enough? I read in a book once, someone was speculating about, you know, that the Lord will descend with a shout. What's he going to shout? And this person that was writing suggested that maybe what he's going to shout is enough. Because it's time. Dr. D. James Kennedy, I'm sure a lot of people know who he is. Or I'm not even sure he's still alive. I think he is, but I don't know. I have a quote from him. It says, tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When you have an immoral society that has blatantly, proudly violated all the commandments of God, there is one last virtue they insist on. Tolerance for their immorality. Tolerance. An intolerant hater. That's us, isn't it? What we're seeing is deflection. The onus is being put on us. We're the bad guys because we don't tolerate what they're doing. Of course, Romans, I've got it written down somewhere. Anyway, it's 1:32. It says that not only God doesn't like the things they're doing, but he doesn't like the people that approve of it. See, it's no longer about them or what they're doing. It's about us because we're not accepting it. There's a progression in society. It starts out where things are forbidden, then they're tolerated, then they're accepted, and then they become the normal. And that's what's happening. And we cry out. We voice our disapproval, and we're the bad guys. Has it reached the point where no one will listen? In the days of Lot, Genesis 19:9, and these are the people of Sodom talking about Lot. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. He was judging them. He was disapproving of what they were doing. Even three of his daughters and their husbands wouldn't listen to him. Two went with him when he left Sodom, but they may have been too young to stay. I don't know. But the world quotes Scripture, doesn't it? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbors yourself. We're supposed to be tolerant out of love. Love your neighbors yourself. You know, if I see myself heading in a certain direction, if I see myself doing something that I shouldn't be doing, I'm going to warn myself. That's because, to a certain extent, I love myself. That's what we're supposed to do for our neighbor. We're supposed to warn them. Hey, there's a bridge out down there. Oh, wait a minute. Just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. We've got to be tolerant. Judge not, lest you be judged. We're not supposed to judge. Actually, there's three Hebrew words for judging. One is societal judge. That's when you sit on a jury. You decide whether someone's guilty or innocent. The other one is condemnation. That's the one that's talked about when Jesus said not to judge. That's when we look down our nose at somebody. Because everything we do, we're supposed to do out of love. And the third one is discernment. Don't cast your pearls before swine. How are we supposed to know they're swine? Bad company corrupts good habits. How are we supposed to know that someone or a group of people is bad company? Come out from among them and be separate. How are we supposed to know who they are? We're supposed to discernment. We're supposed to judge. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to convict the world of its sin. He came to shine a light on the sin. John 3:17-20. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. He still does this. And how does he still do this? What is his light that shines on the ungodliness? His word? Yeah. His spirit? And also us. His light in us. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. His righteousness, his action, his faith, he didn't have to say it condemned the world. If we're not speaking up for God and his righteousness, don't you think we'll have to answer for it? Ezekiel 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? It is. Second Peter 3:3-12. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers, that literally means mockers, will come mocking. There will come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Literally, he's going to loose the elements, and that's going to create a great noise. I believe that he's going to untie every atom. Sounds like a nuclear explosion to me. Let's look at verse 11 again. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? When you see the word conversation in the Bible, it's not just talking about what we talk. It's talking about our actions. It's talking about how we present who we are and who we have in us to the world. It's everything we do. So what do we do? What manner of persons ought we to be? We have to stand strong. We have to stand firm for what is right, for what God says. And it's not going to get any easier, is it? We have to be disciplined. You know, they get the word disciple from discipline, or maybe it's the other way around. The two words are connected. We have to make sure our light is shining. We have to have constant communication with God. Communion with God. Seek Him every morning. David said, "Early will I seek you in a dry and thirsty land." We have to set our mind like a flint. Set our mind on the finish line. Set our mind on a godly walk. We have to praise and worship. And we have to pray. We have to pray like never before. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." In the book of Job, in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2, God said to Satan, "Where have you been?" Satan said, "I've been on the earth, walking back and forth." Why is he walking back and forth? He's seeking whom he may devour. And he tried it with Job. Job said, "I will praise the Lord." You know, it's interesting. Noah and Lot, at the very end of the narrative about them, where I was telling about them, they both got drunk. Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk, and something happened. And I don't know. You can speculate about what happened. Basically, he was naked in his tent, and two of his sons had to go in with a blanket backwards so they didn't see him and cover him up. But the other one had seen him. And because of that, it cursed all of his ancestors. Lot got drunk. His daughters got him drunk. Maybe they thought that there was no one else left in the world and they had to repopulate the world. But they devised a scheme where they're going to get their father drunk and they're going to have children with him. Yeah. And those two children were Ammon and Moab. They became bitter enemies of Israel. And they still are. You know, you don't have to get drunk to be in a stupor, do you? We can be spiritually in a spiritual stupor. Many people are. The world is. So is this message all about doom and gloom? Nope. Because there's one thing that's uplifting about this message. Paul said these things would be happening in the last days. Peter said these things would be happening in the last days. Jesus said these things would be happening at the time he comes back in the last days. Where are we? When are we? If we're not there, we're awful close, aren't we? What's about to happen? His promises are about to be fulfilled. All his promises. You read the back of the book and you see what that involves. You see what the promises are there that are for us. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." No matter what we're going through. It says in one of the prophets, you know, two mercies for every woe. God repays. His word is true. The very fact that we see these things happening when it was prophesied that they would happen proves that to us, doesn't it? It reinforces that in us. His word is true. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He takes them very seriously. stand strong. Keep your focus on the Lord. Because the day is coming. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. We thank you, Lord, for everything that's happening. We pray, Lord, that the people of this world will come to repentance and come to know you. But Lord, we know where we are and we know what's going on. Lord, strengthen your people. We need you more today than we did yesterday. And we're going to need you even more tomorrow. But that's the kind of God you are, because you will be more. Lord, keep us close to you. Suffering children are safe in his arms, we say. We're your children, and we are safe in your arms. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us. You'd walk with us. You'd guide us. You'd direct us. You'd correct us when you have to. We thank you that you love us enough to do all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.